The Bible uses the word heaven in three different ways. One is the heaven is the atmosphere above us. It refers to it as the heaven. Another heaven is what we would call the universe or the galaxy, that place where the stars and the planets are. And then the third heaven, the third way the Bible uses the word heaven, is to refer to where God lives. And so this war in heaven is not taking place where God lives, but it's taking place in this atmosphere around the earth. The Bible says, the Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. Watch, turn real quick over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. All I want you to see, this doesn't really have anything to do with the message, but I just want you to get a clear picture of it. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to see that the heavens that it's talking about here is not where God lives. There was no war where God lives. Can you understand that? Can you understand that if anybody tried to act up where God lived, he'd just take care of it? You know, they wouldn't be able to be there. They wouldn't be able to be in his presence. Can you see that? This heaven that it's talking about is what we would call the atmosphere. So this heaven that it's talking about is the atmosphere. Look here in Ephesians chapter 6. And let's start reading at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. What am I talking about today? I'll give you a dollar if you can tell me what I'm talking about today. The story of Christianity. Okay, I owe you a dollar, Miss Connie. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the who?
Devil.
Devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Everybody say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Lots of times we think that our fight is with people. You know what I mean? You know, some people will say, oh, it's those black people that cause all the problems. You know what I mean? No, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And some people will say, no, it's the white people that cause all the problems. Those blue-eyed devils. They're the ones, isn't that what they say? The blue-eyed devils cause all the problems. No, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Some people will say, no, it's the Muslim people. They're the ones causing all the problems. No, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our problem is not people, but it's people, it's demons, it's principalities working through people, who are motivating people, who are encouraging people to hurt other people, to work against the interests of God. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, if you look at the margin of that word high, it literally is the word heavenly places. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against who? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Like one man said, you know it's not talking about human principalities. You know it's not talking about human powers. You know it's not talking about human rulers. How do you know that, Greg? Because it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Humans are flesh and blood, aren't they? No, this is talking about spiritual beings, about spiritual entities. And it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these spiritual entities, these principalities, these powers, these rulers of the darkness of this world, these spiritual wickedness in high or in heavenly places. And when it says heavenly, again, it's not saying there's spiritual wickedness in heaven where God lives. It's saying that the atmosphere. So that's the picture you need to imagine. Turn back to Revelation chapter 12, the book of Revelation chapter 12. So this war is going up here in the atmosphere. This war between Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was there any place found anymore in heaven. So they lost their place. They lost their authority. The Jewish people believed that the whole atmosphere, the whole sky was filled with demons. There's all sorts of demons everywhere. And so it says here, they lost their place and prevailed not. Verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So who was the dragon? The devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. He lost his reign up there in the heavenlies, in the atmosphere, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come. Everybody say, now is come.
Now is come.
Salvation and strength.
Salvation and strength.
And the kingdom of our God.
And the kingdom of our God.
Say, now is come.
Now.
The kingdom of our God. Say,
now is come.
The power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Okay, so what are we talking about? The story of Christianity. Here's the basic story of Christianity right here. Usually when we read the book of Revelation, we're sort of conditioned in our culture to think these are all things that are happening in the future. In other words, it's predicted, it's telling us, this is going to happen in the future. But that's not what, this is something that's already happened.
Right.
It's looking back and it's telling us about this war that went on. You know how I can tell that? You know how I know that? Because look, it says, first of all, it says, now is come the kingdom of our God. Can you see that? It says, now is come the kingdom of our God. Well, one thing you can see from that is before, the kingdom of God wasn't come, right? Can you see that? In other words, if he says, now is come the kingdom of our God, that means before now, what was the kingdom of God? It hadn't come yet, right? Now is come the kingdom of our God. And then he goes on to say, now is come the power of his Christ. Everybody say the power of his Christ.
The power of his Christ.
Now, what I want you to see is that, oh, I'm sorry. What I want you to see is that this is looking backward. This is something that's already happened. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. He says, now is come the power of his Christ. What am I talking about? The story of Christianity. The story of Christianity. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Oh, that's John. Wrong. Oh, okay. There you go. Matthew chapter 28. That Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. The 28th chapter is the last chapter of Matthew. It's right before the Gospel of Mark. And in verse 18 it says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them. These are the disciples. He's risen from the dead. Verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying what? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Everybody say, all power.
All power.
Is given unto me
in heaven and in earth.
Say, all power
is given unto me
in heaven and in earth. Say,
all power
is given unto me
in heaven and in earth.
Say,
all power
is given unto me
in heaven and in earth.
Say,
all power
is given unto me
in heaven and in earth.
Okay, so before Jesus said that, before this time, did Jesus have all power in heaven and in earth? I mean, he's telling them all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Doesn't that imply that before it was given to him that he didn't have all power in heaven and in earth? Hallelujah. Okay, now flip back to Revelation chapter 12. He says, all power, say, all power has been given unto me. What do I want you to see? I want you to see that this episode in the book of Revelation chapter 12 is something that had already happened. This isn't something we're waiting for to happen. This is something that's already happened. When the book of Revelation was written, it had already happened. Can you see that? And he's telling us what went on behind the scenes. He's telling us what was going on in the spiritual world. There was a war in the heavenlies. There was a war in the heavens. Between who? Between Satan and his angels and Michael and his angels. And who won that war? And who lost the war? And as a result of Satan losing the war, what happened? Say, now is come. The kingdom of our God. And what? And the power of who? The power of his Christ. Now is come the power of his Christ. But Jesus said back there in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me in heaven. Can you see the association there? Can you see what's going on there? There in the book of Revelation, he's talking about what happened so that Jesus could say in Matthew chapter 28, all power is given unto me. In the book of Revelations, he says that now is come the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, he says, all power has been given unto me. In Revelation chapter 12, he's looking back and saying, describing this war going on, Satan being cast down from his rulership. And he says the result of that is what is now has come the power of his Christ. Over in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is talking about what? Power. All power is given unto me in heaven, the heavenlies, and in earth. Can you see that? Hallelujah. So that has already happened. Okay, so this is the story of Christianity. So what is the story of Christianity? The story of Christianity is the story of this war. This war that went on in heaven. This war that went on in the heavenly places. This war between who? Between Satan and his angels and Michael and his angels. This war to cast Satan down to the earth so that now could come what? The kingdom of our God. It says now is come what? The kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Say now is come.
Now is come.
Say now is come.
Now is come.
Now is come.
Now.
Now is come the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Hallelujah. Turn over to Mark chapter 1. So that's the story of Christianity. The story of Satan being defeated. The story of Satan being defeated and being kicked out of his rulership. Let me explain to you this way. Maybe this will make it clearer. You know, it says that Satan was cast out of the heavenlies, right? He was cast out into the earth. And then it says what? Now is come what? The kingdom of our God, right? Now is come the kingdom of our God. So that means before now, it wasn't the kingdom of our God wasn't come, right? Can you see that? I'm not making that up, am I? It says now is come the kingdom of our God, right? That means before now, it wasn't come. Can you see that? Now has come the kingdom of our God. Before now, the kingdom of our God wasn't come. Now has come the power of his Christ. Before then, the power of his Christ wasn't come. Before now, the power... Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
Okay, so here's what I want you to see. Okay, if now has come the kingdom of our God, now has come the power of his Christ, well then who was in charge before? Who was the king before? That's what the fight was about. Who's going to be king over the earth? Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Is that where it is? Luke chapter 4. The Gospel of Luke chapter 4. The story of Christianity is this story of the war for the kingship over the earth. Hallelujah. Look here in Luke chapter 4. Before Jesus came to the earth, before Jesus died on the cross, before Jesus rose from the dead, Satan was the king of this world. He was the ruler over mankind. He had the right to rule over mankind. Before Jesus came, Satan was the king over mankind. He had the right. You know, some people say, oh, you don't believe in that old Satan stuff, do you? Well, you know, Jesus believed in that Satan stuff. He went around casting out demons. What was he faking it? You know what I mean? He said, come out, Satan! I bind you, devil! Was he faking it? Well, Jesus believed in demons. The Apostle Paul, we just finished reading in the book of Ephesians, he believed in demons. He says, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. But against what do we wrestle? Is wrestling a good thing? You know, every once in a while, Jeremiah, you know, he starts acting up and we get to wrestling, you know. But the good thing is that at karate, we also have jujitsu on Thursday nights. And so now we know how to armbar each other and choke each other out. You know what I mean? And And so I'm bigger than him, you know, so I know, having been to the jiu-jitsu class, all I have to do is put my weight on him. And eventually, he'll grow tired. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got 240 pounds sitting on you. You know what I mean? After a while, I surrender, Dad. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Now, here's what I want you to see. Is wrestling an easy thing or is it a hard thing? Is wrestling require effort? It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but who do we wrestle against? Principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. The story of Christianity is this story for the kingship over mankind. It's for the rulership of mankind. Look here in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 4, I'm sorry. Is that what I said? Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Everybody say, tempted of the devil. He was 40 days tempted of the devil. Now skip down to verse 6, and this is one of the temptations. Verse 6, and the devil said unto him, all this... I skipped part. We have to read verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world. Say, all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Verse 7, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, that's not so, devil. You're a liar. All this power doesn't belong to you. He didn't say that. You know, the Bible calls that a temptation. In order for it to be a temptation, it had to be true. Can you see that? In other words, if I say to you, steal me a car and I'll give you $1 million. Is that much of a temptation for you?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want to go to prison.
Okay, $2 million.
No.
$3 million.
That's so easy.
Oh, she's starting to change her mind. $10 million!
I ain't stealing
your
old car.
You know why that isn't a temptation? How many of you are willing to steal the car from me for $10 million? Raise your hand. Okay, you listen. Listen, Mikey. Dan will do it.
You don't have $10 million.
You know why that isn't a temptation? Because you know I don't have $1 million. Do you know what I mean? Did anybody see that movie with Robert Redford and the guy from Cheers? Woody Harrelson. And it was about, if you'll let me sleep with your wife, I'll give you $1 million. And I never saw it, but Robert Redford, you know, I'm too busy reading my Bible and praying to watch movies. So, you know. But anyway, Woody Harrelson is married to Demi Moore, I think. And Robert Redford is this big, rich billionaire. And he says, I'll give you $1 million or $2 million or something dollars if you'll let me, I don't know, sleep with your wife or date your wife or something like that. That was a temptation for Woody Harrelson in that movie. Why? Because the guy had the money. But if I came to you and said, I'll give you $2 million to let me sleep with your wife, that wouldn't be a temptation. Why? Because, you know, I don't have $2 million. Do you see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? What does that have to do with this? Verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That Jesus passed the temptation. He didn't give in to the temptation, not because it wasn't true, but because he had a higher principle to abide by, which was what? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him only shalt thou serve. Can you see that? So all I want you to see is that according to this scripture, the devil said, all power and all the glory of all the kingdoms of the world belong to him. Turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. What am I talking about? I'm talking about this war that was going on in the heavenlies. That's the story of Christianity. This war so that now could come the kingdom of our God. This war so that now could come the power of His Christ. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to supplant Satan in His kingship over mankind so that now could come the kingdom of our God. So that now could come the power of His Christ. Look here in the Gospel of John chapter 13. The Gospel of John chapter, what did I say? Chapter 12, I'm sorry. Chapter 12 and verse 31. The Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel of John, right before the book of Acts, chapter 12. This is Jesus talking the night before He's going to be crucified. The night before He's going to be crucified. And He says this. Jesus is talking. And He says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Everybody say, "The prince of this world." Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Say, "The prince of this world." The prince of this world. Well, who was this prince of this world that's going to be cast out? Hallelujah. What did we read over in the book of Revelation? He says he was cast out into the earth. That word "cast out" is the same word that Jesus, that the Bible uses when Jesus cast a demon out of somebody. Can you see that? The prince of this world is going to be cast out. Now, all I really want you to see there is that Satan was the king of this world. And Jesus came, turn over to Mark chapter 1. Jesus came to establish a new kingship. Jesus came to establish a new kingship. Hallelujah. And this is our scripture for the year, I guess. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 14. So Satan was the king of this world. And there was this war going on. For what? A war for what? A war for the kingship over the earth. So that now could come the kingdom of our God. So that now could come the power of His Christ. This war was going on. Can you see that? So look at Jesus comes. Satan is the king of this world. We just saw that, right? In Luke chapter 4, in John chapter 13, we saw that he was the prince of this world. In Luke chapter 4, we saw that he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said, "All this power and this glory will I give you, for it has been delivered unto me." And now we see Jesus showing up and preaching in verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. Everybody say, "The good news,
the good news
of the kingdom of God."
The kingdom of God.
And saying,
"Saying,
the time is fulfilled.
The kingdom of God is at hand."
Say, "The time is fulfilled." Say, "The time is fulfilled." Say, "The time is fulfilled."
Now is come
the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. Say, "The time is fulfilled.
The kingdom of God is at hand."
That's what Jesus came to do. He came to establish the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, turn over to Acts chapter 10. Who can tell me what the kingdom of Satan was like? Huh? Becky says it was bad. The kingdom of Satan. Well, one thing we know is it was the kingdom of sickness and disease. Because in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says this. This is the Apostle Peter. He's preaching to people about Jesus, and he says this, telling them the story of Jesus. He says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10. Acts is spelled A-C-T-S. Acts. I'm just kidding you, Miss Tanisha. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and what?
Healing.
Who did He heal? All that were made sick by God? He went around healing all those that God made sick. No, he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Say this, say, sickness and disease,
sickness and disease
is satanic oppression.
Is satanic oppression.
Say, sickness and disease,
sickness and disease
is oppression of the devil.
Oppression of the devil.
Say, sickness and disease is the devil ruling in your life.
It's the devil oppressing
you. It's the devil holding you down. It's the devil ruling over you.
Sickness and disease
is the devil ruling over you. But God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and what? And healing all who were oppressed, who were ruled over, who were being dominated over by the devil. So Satan was king, and one feature of his kingdom was the ability to make people sick. Hallelujah. But Jesus has come. And he said this, he says, the time is fulfilled. Say this, say, the time is fulfilled.
The time is fulfilled.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
Say, the time is fulfilled.
The time is fulfilled.
The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. I did not say that. It says plainly right there, it says, and he came saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Can you see this picture of this warfare going on in the heavenlies? Satan wants to be king over mankind. Jesus comes preaching a new kingdom. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Can you see that? And so then Jesus died on the cross. We all know that story, right? Yes. Jesus died on the cross, and then he rose from the dead. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. What am I talking about? I'll give a dollar to the person who can tell me what I'm talking about. What am I talking about, JJ? All right, Mr. JJ, I owe you a dollar. Okay, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, talking about Jesus, Jesus also himself likewise took part of the same. Part of what same? Flesh and blood. Jesus became flesh and blood, right? God became flesh and dwelt among us. He also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy who? Him that had the power of death, that is who? For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us, right? We're flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So did Jesus destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil? Well, yeah, in some sense he did. In other words, the devil's still operating, but he destroyed his kingdom.
Yes,
he took his kingdom away from him. He took his authority away from him, so that in the book of Revelation, God can tell us, now is come the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ.
Yes.
Can you see? Does that make sense to anybody? Turn over to Colossians real quick. Well, let's just stop there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Jesus defeated the devil. Jesus defeated the devil so that now could come the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Well, you know, some people may say, well, okay, Greg, but how come there's still sick people? How come Satan is still dominating people's lives? Because we have something to say about it. Look over at Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to stop with this verse. And we're going to continue on this series of lessons for the next 4 weeks. Talking about the believer's authority. The reason that Satan still rules in the lives of people is because we as Christians have failed to take our authority. And we have, in fact, we've said it's all up to God. It's all up to God. I like to think about it this way. We say, God, do something! God, do something! God, do something! And God looks down and he says, you've got the authority, you do something. But most Christians, they don't think they have any authority. They They think it's all up to God. No, my job is just to go to heaven when I die, and that's it. Other than that, I'm done with. Look here in Matthew chapter 28. We just looked at this scripture. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Say, all power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now is come the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Hallelujah. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But look at verse 19. He says, go ye therefore. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And look at the next part of the next verse. Go ye therefore. Everybody say, go ye therefore.
Go ye therefore.
All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. You therefore go. All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Now is come the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Go ye therefore. And if you go back over to the book of Revelation, the next verse says, and they overcame him. Who is it that overcame him? The accuser of our brethren is cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We're supposed to be overcoming him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the story of Christianity. The story of Christianity is that Satan was ruling over mankind. Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. He died so that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he took the kingship unto himself so that now he can say, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Now he can say, I'm the king in effect. Can you see that? He can say, now I'm the king. Jesus is the king. Now you, the followers of Jesus, go, 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 and use his authority. Go and use his authority to lose people, to enforce his kingdom over Satan, where Satan is dominating in the lives of people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Like I said, we're going to keep talking about this for the next 4 weeks. So if you're interested in the believer's authority, come back for the next 4 weeks, and I'll explain it to you in more depth. But before we go, listen, I need everybody to look at me right now. I want you looking at me right now. Hallelujah. You know, I want to ask you a question.